Morning, everybody. More and more of you coming out of the woodwork. It's good to see you. A wonderful blessing it is. Not all the Fosters are here, right?
That's right.
Okay. I see more and more of you. Okay. Just want to make sure. We are going to begin as Elder Sharping said, we're going to begin the fall Reformation celebration this evening with the first presentation having to do with the Second Reformation of Scotland. And next week, Lord willing, I'll be starting the first of three sermons on the primary biblical issues that made it such a contested time, which means that we're going to finish up our series this morning on living and growing in the family of God. And as we do so, we're going to come to the last chapter of our mortal life. That is the period of time when, if you were blessed with children, they have gone now and are on their own. This is the period after retirement has commenced. And the topic of the remainder of your days are now spoken of in the present tense. I know that the title of this sermon is a little bit disconcerting, but it is meant to remind you that just as you have lived all of the previous chapters of your life preparing for the next one, so also here, it is necessary for you to prepare yourself for that final transition, which you know must come to us all unless and until the Lord comes again. Psalm 71, which I just realized we've already sung. I picked it out, but I didn't realize it was Psalm 71. Has been referred to as the Psalm of the Elderly. And so it seems a very appropriate place for us to go to in order to address this chapter in our lives. So turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 71. This is the Word of God. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. They may be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed, who sought to do me hurt. Thus far the reading of God's word.
The grass withers and the flower fades, the word of our God will stand forever.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, one of the realities of life that we seem to learn all too slowly is just how out of control we really are regarding the various twists and turns that come upon us, whether we really want them or not. It can come in many forms. It can be a crippling car accident, the death of a child, a divorce, a layoff, a sudden downturn in the economy. There, these and much more remind us that so much of our lives is really in the hands of a providential God. It reminds us that we live so much of our lives by way of reaction rather than action and decision. But other elements of life, in fact, are in our control. And just as with the other chapters of life, we must prove faithful to act in the days that God has given us. To act with faith and with maturity, with courage and with forethought, to apply the skill for living that we have learned along the way, rather than let major decisions, major choices in our lives slide off until they are decided by someone or something else besides ourselves. Psalm 71 is very classically referred to as the Psalm of the Elderly. So it's a good one to pick for that period of life. And I want to look at five different topics of our elder years that come from Psalm 71. First, older years must be faced. We get that from verses 1 through 3. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge, for you are my rock and my fortress. You know, one significant reason for participating in the lives of your family members, as well as the life of your church, is that you get a good understanding of how age affects and changes people. The church is just like the family. It's multi-generational. We come with all kinds of ages as well as all kinds of circumstances. And I would encourage you, especially the young people, don't just walk past, don't just ignore those who are older than you are, but befriend a grandparent, befriend an uncle, an aunt, someone in your church who is significantly older than yourself. And then observe that person decline over the years. You will learn by doing that what aging is all about. When you only pay attention to your own generation, when you only pay attention to those around you who are like you, of your similar age and similar economic circumstances and similar opportunities to enjoy themselves, you never truly prepare yourself for what is to come. We need all of the generations that the church can offer us. We need the elderly in our lives, just like we need the young. Most of us, you know, in this environment, I didn't grow up here in D.C., okay? And in this environment, I know that many people, because they can, because they've got the financial wherewithal, are used to trading in cars every once in a while and getting brand spanking new ones. I never have had that philosophy in my life. My attitude about cars has always been the same. You buy used and you run it into the ground. One of the reasons I've learned, one of the lessons, rather, that I have learned is in doing that is how a car shows signs of age. You know, it doesn't just, the car just doesn't stop all at once and it's over. One day, you know, a belt breaks. The other day, a water pump will seize up. The interior fades and starts to decay. The upholstery starts to rip. The marks that you made on that car years ago are still there. And they've gotten worse. And then your mechanic begins talking to you about the loss of compression in your engine and how increasing rust significantly reduces the strength of steel. Well, getting old is a lot like that. Can I have an amen? For most of us, it comes on slowly, imperceptibly, steadily. Old age nickels and dimes you to death. Until you find out that most of you just doesn't function anymore. Now, facing older age will mean different things to different people, but some things can apply to most of us, starting with the phrase, empty nest. You know, this is the time when you have worked to train your kids and to prepare them and to get them where they want to go and then see them out on their own. It's a great and joyful time. And then you are back reuniting with your spouse. I know of one husband recently who rejoiced at the marriage of his last child. I finally have my wife to myself again. But she's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. You want to spend that time reuniting in a very special way. Never taking it for granted, but realizing that you want to make the most of the opportunity that's before you. You might ask, well, what left is there to talk about? My wife and I have been through all this gamut of raising kids, and we've been through all of those. There's nothing else to talk about. Rekindle interest in your old hobbies. Janet and I have records that have been in boxes since before Matthew was born. We just never got them out again. We need to go back and discover those things. Return to return to old haunts. Go back to places you used to hang out when you were younger, just to see what it's like now. Consider going places and seeing things you've never been able to investigate before. Rediscover the arts. Rediscover museums. Rediscover, read the books that have been on your shelves for all these years, just decorating your living room. Take a course or two. Get involved in your community. But at the same time, plan according to what you know is ahead. Have devotions together. Talk about faith. Talk about trust. Prepare yourself. Prepare your spouse against the day when one of you will be gone. Even as you are in the midst of that once-in-a-lifetime vacation together, spend time discussing your decisions and the arrangements that you've made, rehearsing each other regarding the needful steps that will have to be taken when the time comes, of how the survivor is going to function successfully when the other one of you is gone. One of the key areas of that is finances. But in our technological age, the other is passwords. Now, it's true that, you know, some people react poorly to such thoughts as that. Creeps me out to talk about death. Some of you get very upset by such a topic, or they think that in some superstitious way, if you never do talk about it, it's never going to happen. Or they tell themselves, the children are always going to be there. They'll handle things for us. Let me say to you gently but firmly that avoidance of such issues as these, such details, such decisions that you have to make is not according to wisdom. And that as a Christian, you do have a responsibility to number your days aright and to make the most of the opportunity that is before you. Bringing up such subjects as that may take some getting used to, may take some time, some patience, some prayer, as you face the decisions and choices. But preparation is much too important to let slide, which could leave your spouse alone in the world feeling helpless, feeling fearful, feeling alone. The second thing I think that the psalm is teaching us is equip yourself against the world. Verses 4 through 8. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. You know, financial security is very important in this chapter of life. Your financial condition will not be the same as everyone's, of course. But the one thing all Christians should have in common is a grasp on the wisdom of God that planning for tomorrow is at least as important at this age as any other age you've been through in your life. For instance, let me throw the cold water on you. You don't really need that dream house. You don't really need that luxury car as much as you really do need some kind of home, some kind of transportation, when your health and the health of your spouse begins to decline in unpredictable ways. Balance your present wants against your future needs. Aim and plan as best you can in very specific ways how to handle your own affairs, your own necessities, rather than hand those burdens off to someone else because you've never gotten around to thinking about it. Sure, you may want to do as much as you can to help the kids. We want to get them off to a good start. We want them to be as debt-free as possible. We want them to have the blessings that we didn't have. All of those things are true. But saving for the retirement years is the most important way not to be a burden upon them when the time comes. Prepare your will before you think you need to do that. Make some funeral arrangements way before you think you'll need to do that. Make arrangements clear to everyone so that family disputes will be reduced as much as you are able to do so. You know, health concerns become a major focus later on in life. When you're young, everything works. Everything feels fine. I'm very independent. I can handle it. Young people, you cannot imagine how arthritis can frustrate you to no end. You cannot imagine how slowly growing blind can drive you nuts. Prepare yourself for that. And, you know, in our nation, with all of its political upheaval, it's been so many years, I think it's been my entire adult life, that politics has wrangled over the promise of health care for this nation. And yet it remains virtually unknown to this day. So this is an area where you must do what you can and then learn to trust the Lord more and more and more. You could pray Psalm 71 on a regular basis. Above all, be on guard against being fooled. The spammers are out there. Most of us are aware of that, but they're always finding ways to get in. The more sophisticated, the better. Don't give the second thought to the too good to be true offers that come to you out of the blue. Secure for yourself by this time in life one or two, and I recommend two, trusted advisors that you can bounce your plans off of and get the perspectives and make sure that you are going forward in a confident manner. And depend on their counsel and direction. Do not give in to panic. Do not fear when the market dives. Do not be like everyone else in the world. Trust in the Lord. Be steady. Trust in the Lord. The third point here is remember the fifth commandment, which is to honor your father and mother. That's in verses 9 through 16. Do not cast me off in time of old age. You know, our society is very pragmatic. Whatever works trumps whatever is right. Whatever works cancels ethics. It cancels the need for wisdom. And consumers' considerations for ethics and wisdom are readily rejected and cast aside out of the lust for the latest gadget that lets us do more and more at the moment. Because we don't think in terms of right and wrong automatically. Should I or should I not? But only in terms of how much is it cost and can I get it soon? Our self-centered fascination becomes our all-consuming preoccupation. And that directly affects our patience with the elderly, particularly the elderly in our own family. Instead of wanting to share our lives with our parents, we would just as soon be distant from them. We'll check up on them every once in a while. We'll make sure they're okay. And then we'll get back to our computer screens. Our culture has become child and youth-centered. You know, even just a generation ago, it was regarded as important that children not only respect their elders, but actually spend time with them, so that their elders might actually have some impact on their growing young lives. Hobbies, small jobs, fun times could be shared by both, and life lessons could be practically taught and learned. Today, the world orbits around the youth. If they even know their grandparents at all, it's because they managed to show up at a baseball game so they could watch them through the fence play the game or go to their dance recital. The elderly are simply regarded by the young as being without a sense of purpose. Why are you here? Not making any contribution to the child's moral compass and to the development of their character. The fifth commandment has been given to us not first and foremost because every older member of your family truly deserves your respect, your honor, or can indeed contribute something valuable into your child's life. Maybe it's the case that they can't. But because the young are sinfully prone to disregard age, and when we do that, we follow the pattern ourselves, we remain foolish about what our old age is going to be like and what we're going to need and why it is that people forget about me and don't think about me and only call me on a blue moon. And when honoring the fifth commandment means taking care of aged parents when they're no longer able to take care of themselves, the family should anticipate the need for that. Put two and two together. Yes, my parents are doing fine. They're enjoying themselves. They're at the lake house. They're having a ball. I wish I lived their lives. But you know they're getting older. You know they're getting older. It's not a case of if something happens. which is how we always console ourselves so we can get back to our lives. It's a matter of when. And yet, in so many families, such preparation, such anticipation, such reality is never considered. It's never given a thought until, of course, the crisis is upon us. And, well, you can't expect us to give up a bedroom in our house. This responsibility, in case you didn't know, will fall primarily on the Christian sibling. And so don't be surprised, brothers and sisters, when it happens in your family. Yes, you will be angry at your brothers and sisters who are not Christians, and you will not understand how they can just let you do it. But you must expect it, because that's how it works. You can get the other family members involved, you can do what you can to include the siblings, but don't be surprised when they don't have any time for this. We don't have any room for that. We certainly don't have any money for that. When they have no concern for their parents, when honor is not something they are willing to give. Friends, just quietly be ready. Be prepared. And remember, something else here. Elderly parents often say, "I don't want to be a bother," because they feel their growing lack of uselessness creeping up on them too. And they feel guilty for the attention that they are going to need. But you must realize when the time comes, my friends, the elderly don't have a choice. When things don't work, they need help. It's not that maybe what they wanted, it's what you must deal with. It's the reality of life. Just as adult children must be willing to care for aged parents, so also elderly parents must be willing to be served and not to fight it. To be served with grace and grateful and cooperating spirit. Fourthly, continue to redeem the time. Verse 18, "Even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all who, those who come." You know, remember, through all of life, we are called to do what we can to be productive in the kingdom of God, to take the time that we have, the opportunity we have, the energy we have, and to take it seriously. We're teaching through Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians. He's in jail for the second time in his life. He's saying, "It's not what I had in mind, but guess what? I've been able to speak to the guards again. You remember what happened when I was in Philippi? I've been speaking to..." He makes the use of every opportunity. He's not saying, "Well, if I was out in the world, I would accomplish this. I would start that church. I would do this." He makes it happen where he is. Sometimes the elderly don't want to hear that. I visited my mom when she lay in her hospital bed. She would ask me the question that all elderly people do ask eventually: "Why doesn't the Lord take me already?" And you know, before I thought about it, the pastor came out in me. Dangerous thing, that pastor. And I blurted out, "Well, it's because you are still called to glorify God and enjoy Him." I thought she was going to slug me. But you know what she did? She accepted my rebuke. She stopped feeling sorry for herself, at least for the day. She knew I was right. She knew that's what she taught me. The call of God to redeem your time is what continues to give you purpose in life. Don't look for purpose in life in the mirror. Don't look for purpose in life at your work. Don't look for purpose in life in your self-identity. Look for it in God's calling you to serve. If your purpose in life is to serve, you are never empty of purpose. Retired people are a real blessing when they give their services to the church, to the mission field. When they do nursery duty for tired parents, when they teach young people cooking skills or carpentry skills, as well as Bible knowledge and other spiritual skills for living. And when those other things become too much, the elderly may also have access to those remarkable communication devices, which they can enable them to communicate with one another and pray for one another and support one another. Do you remember Polycarp? The elderly need to remember Polycarp. Polycarp was the disciple of John the Apostle. We don't know much about Polycarp. All we know, I mean, he's done a couple of writings, but the most important thing about him is that he was an 86-year-old man, 86 years old, and he was considered so dangerous by the Roman Empire that they had him executed. Wow. The Lord will not forsake you. And you can still have great effect on another's life. Proclaim the might of the Lord to the next generation. That's what he's telling us here. And then finally, fifthly, if you are given the blessing, and in our day and age, it's not common to be given this blessing. But if you are given the blessing, look forward to Beulah Land. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. You know, Beulah Land is the term that John Bunyan gave in Pilgrim's Progress for that period of time at the end of one's life, when the world and all of its nagging hassles begins to fade and melt away, and your eyes focus more and more on the glory of God to come, and that's all you think about. That's Beulah Land. Behold, Beulah, John Bunyan writes, whose air was very sweet and pleasant. Yea, here they heard continually the singing of the birds, and saw every day the flowers appear in the earth, and heard the voice of the turtle in the land. In this country the sun shineth night and day, wherefore this was beyond the valley of the shadow of death, and also out of reach of giant despair. Neither could they from this place so much as see Doubting Castle. Here they were within the sight of the city they were going to. Also here met them some of the inhabitants thereof, for in this land the shining ones commonly walked, because it was upon the borders of heaven. I say if you are given the blessing of that, because my friends, in this day of hospitals and drugs and extreme efforts of medicines and medical procedures, very few of us will ever face death even consciously, let alone at peace, let alone with a calm, trusting sense of faith and alertness that Bunyan describes. Bunyan wrote of this phase of life because it was much more common experience in his day than it is today. And he wrote of it in such a way that allows the Christian to be encouraged in his faith and trust in Jesus right up until the very last. What can we do in our day when even the act of dying is taken out of our control? Guard your attitude now. Instead of nursing a regret, instead of nursing anger or bitterness, rebuke that self-centered attitude. Deepen your relationship with Christ as you age. Grow in your trust and your faith and your openness with Him. Grow in your prayer life with Him. Take time while you are able to express your thoughts, your reflections in writing or in recording. Recount stories from your past that your grandchildren should hear, of significant watersheds in your life, of the people that have passed through your life and have meant so great a deal to you, and who have now gone even before you. Write a diary. Write letters to your loved ones that you never get around to sending until they discover them in your drawers. Do your best to tie up loose ends and be reconciled with others. And then finally, when the Lord calls, face the river. Be assured that God calls you to Himself. Feel the bottom and know that it is firm. Trust that the shining ones wait for you on the other side. Know that Christ welcomes you home. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You very much for the direction we have in Scripture that encourages us to live our lives coram Deo at every single stage. And we ask for your blessing that we might be more moved to cross the generations and befriend one another, love one another, learn from one another, so that, Lord, we will understand what it means to grow older. And help us with the priorities of life that are true priorities, so that we don't stumble over busyness and we don't stumble over selfishness and we don't wait too long. And thank You for the warnings and the encouragements that Your Word gives to us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.